Welcome to Integrating Portability with Large IRAs. I'm Bob Keebler on behalf of Lineberg Information Services. I'll be your host. By now, most of us are aware that on December 17, 2010, President Obama signed a bill which introduced a concept called portability. Portability basically allows an executor to make an election to either utilize the decedent's $5 million exemption or to transfer it to the surviving spouse. So if I die, my executor can move my $5 million exemption to my surviving spouse. The decedent's spouse then can utilize the unused exemption at her death. So my wife could then use the exemption at her death. Now, that exemption does not get indexed for inflation, nor does that exemption work for GST purposes. And there are a lot of rules with subsequent marriages, which I'm not going to talk about today. Portability was effective for estates after December 31st, 2010. One of the problems with portability is it only works right now under the statutory construction for 2011 and 2012. So we have to take some of this with a grain of salt, knowing that it could change. When working with portability, we're going to make an election to transfer the unused estate tax exemption on a timely filed estate tax return. Right now, no election can be made on a late filed return. Very unlikely, in my thought, that the IRS would give 9100 relief. One of the issues with portability is the statute of limitations remains open for the decedent's surviving spouse's tax return. So if I die today, my statute on my return does not lapse until after my wife has died. So if I die today at age 49 and my wife lives another 40 years, you can see how that plays out. Adequate disclosure doesn't help you. Now, when working with portability, there's a lot that goes into it when you're analyzing this. The size of the estate, anticipated growth rate of the surviving spouse's estate, GST issues, potential changes in the future estate tax law. Remember, right now we're scheduled to go back to a $1 million exemption. And if that were to come to fruition, which nobody believes it does, but that's what the statutes say, then if you didn't use your $5 million bypass amount for a 2011 or 12 death, you may not have that at the second death. It's unclear how the statutes would work if I transfer my $5 million to my wife and then she dies in 2014 or 15 when there's a $1 million exemption. Probably she would get that again when nothing's clear. There are also asset protection issues. If I fund a bypass trust at my death, those assets are protected from the claims of my wife's creditors, okay? So that can be a very important issue. We also have to look at the additional step-up and basis of the property in the surviving spouse's estate. So I leave property to my wife. She dies 20 years later. She's going to get a step-up in basis. This is a major malpractice risk for advisors. Now, let's transition over to portability in IRAs. For many families, if portability survives, it will eliminate the need to make a difficult choice between a spousal rollover and funding the bypass trust with an IRA. So today I die. My wife comes to see you. You might say to her, you know, you have this $5 million exemption. Your husband, we can move his $5 million exemption to you. When we stack those on top of each other, that's $10 million. The IRA is only $2 million. Your other property is worth $1 million. There's no need. You'll never go over $10 million, no matter how much your property grows. And so there's no need to worry about funding the bypass trust at the first death. And you talk about that. And you say that might be a good thing because then we don't have to take distributions over your life expectancy. Let me go through an example. You represent the estate of Dr. Thomas Jones, who died at age 86. With an IRA of $3 million and a total estate of $6 million. Mrs. Jones, also age 86, net worth is $4 million for a total net worth of $10 million between both of them. Clearly, if you filed for and you used portability, Mrs. Jones would have a $10 million exemption. You would pay no estate tax. Now, that's assuming that she dies before the property changes in value. And let's just run with this for a second. This couple's both 86 years old to make this easy. Now let's go through your choices. Your first choice is you could do an IRA rollover where actually Mrs. Jones takes Dr. Jones's IRA, she rolls into her own name, she names children as a beneficiary, she can do a Roth conversion if she's so inclined. There are a lot of advantages to that. Plus, when it's in her own name, she's taking distributions over the uniform distribution table, which is going to be easier to manage and work with than the life expectancy table. Let me give you just a little example here. Under the uniform table, an 86-year-old would have a 14-year life expectancy. So she rolls it over, she's dividing by 14. On the other hand, if she funds it into the bypass trust by a disclaimer or however it would get into the bypass trust, now you're looking at a 7-year life expectancy. So the funds are going to come out of the IRA and be taxable much sooner. So the rollover has the advantage of slower distributions, the possibility of naming a new beneficiary, and then the children taking distributions out over their life expectancy after their mother dies. And finally, Mrs. Jones would have the privilege of converting to a Roth IRA if she wanted to. So portability brings all those things. Absent portability, most of the time we would fund the bypass trust with the IRA, and distributions would occur over Mrs. Jones, in this case, 7.1 year life expectancy. Now, let's look at this. If at age 70, the life expectancy of a surviving spouse for bypass trust purposes is 17 years, under the uniform distribution table, you're dividing by 27.4. Now, at age 80, under the bypass trust, the table that you use when you're funding the bypass trust, distributions occur over 10.2 years. Under the uniform table, distributions occur over about 18.7 years. So you can see the difference. You're going to be taking dollars out much slower if you roll them over. Now, the problem is, do we pick up an estate tax later? Now, the other possibility, so A, you could roll over. B, you could fund the bypass trust and take distributions over Mrs. Jones's life expectancy. Or C, you could let the IRA pass to the children or a trust for the children, taking distributions out over the children's life expectancy. So those are your choices. But portability, at least in the short term, if portability works, if it sticks, if the law doesn't change, portability is going to give you the best of all worlds where you can actually do a spousal rollover and pick up all those privileges. In the past, a rollover would not have been viable from an estate tax perspective because we had to shelter that from the estate tax. The bypass trust could have been used with Mrs. Jones's 17.1-year life expectancy, or the trust for the children could have been used, but it would have deprived Mrs. Jones of the use of that capital. So those are all bad places to be. So we need to think through what we're going to do going forward. In 2011 and 12, there is no guarantee, first of all, that portability will be retained by Congress. Okay, should be, but no guarantee. There's also no guarantee of what's going to happen to that $5 million exemption if we go back to a $3.5 or $1 million exemption. So we're not sure how that's going to play out, but odds are, if you made the election, you would get to retain that, but we're not sure. In the short run, it may be prudent to fund the bypass trust. Also, remember, when you fund the bypass trust, you're able to protect it from the generation skipping transfer tax, where if you take portability and my wife grabs my $5 million exemption, later at her death, she doesn't pick up another $5 million of GST exemption. The key is whether the surviving spouse should disclaim and maybe push dollars down and take them over to the children's life expectancy. Those are all the things we need to be thinking about when we're working on our 2011 plans. Now, the other thing to ponder is what should we be doing in most first marriages to design flexibility into these plans? Why we have portability? Generally, how we've been doing things is the IRA should be payable to the surviving spouse. That builds in the most flexibility. She can roll it over. She can convert to a Roth IRA. If she dies and it goes to the children, the dollars are going to come out over the children's life expectancy. Much better from an income tax perspective than naming the bypass trust. The contingent beneficiary should be the bypass trust for the spouse. Okay, so in the event my wife disclaimed, the property would go into a bypass trust for her and for our children. And we could actually allocate GST exemption to that trust. A lot of good things can come out of that trust. Now, the third beneficiary would be on this beneficiary form, so to my wife, in the event my wife disclaims, to a trust for my wife, and finally the third beneficiary would be a trust for the benefit of our children. And then, of course, we'd be able to use our children's life expectancy. The beauty of planning like this, if you anticipate a three-tier beneficiary form, you have the ultimate flexibility. You can help your client make all these decisions after the spouse has died. I mean, maybe we have a better feel for where federal law is. We We have a better feel on the income tax rates. We have a better feel for whether we should do Roth conversions. And maybe the other dynamic of this is we understand what's happening in your particular state. Does your state have an estate tax? Does that affect this decision? So all these things play together into this, you know, very complex mosaic of IRA planning. Now, in a second marriage, you may also be looking for flexibility. It's a lot harder to come by. Generally, in a second marriage, you're going to be, the IRA is going to pass to a trust for the spouse with the remainder to the children from the first marriage, and you end up with somewhat of a bad consequence. Okay, you end up with a bad consequence. Now, if you make, if that's within the $5 million exemption, there's no need to shelter that. Distributions will occur over the surviving spouse's lifetime. When you're working in the context of a second marriage, you want to avoid using conduit trusts. You're going to want to use accumulation trust, and there's a lot of strong drafting that has to go into that to make sure you can use life expectancy. So on behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler, and today we've been pleased to share with you some ideas on IRAs and portability.